flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
At the stadium, Vinny schmoozes in luxury suites.
From the left, dear, one serves from the left.
Whatever's gotten into you, Calpurnia?
Haney, post up in the bleachers.
You're all garbage!
The only place to catch Vinny and Haney together is on 105.7 The Fan.
It will be very meaningful if and when we get Todd Monken back. I'm very hopeful that we will. Have you heard something? He's a really good football coach. He's an old school football coach with kind of a new school and a creative mind, always creating. He works well with the staff. We have a great staff around him. So because of that, it'll be very meaningful if and when we get him back. This is always an ever-moving a game, a chess game, but it's a higher level than chess. There's more to it. Todd's one of those guys that can apply his experience along with the fact that he's always thinking ahead. He's always trying to come up with the next idea. And then he's also very much a collaborator. You know, you've got T and George Gotsi and George Warhop, and those guys all bringing all these ideas to the table and those guys working together. You know, I talk to Eric every day, talk to Steve every day. You know, I'm happy, man. I'm happy. And however that goes, I trust God. I trust the people I work with every day who I love, who are my friends. But more importantly, we're on a mission together. And as long as that goes, as long as God permits that to go, then I'm all about it. You know, I'm fired up for it. And
I thought he was going to go full on Blues Brothers. Dan Aykroyd, mission from God. John Harbaugh going to work back to front, talking about the fact that he does not have a contract extension heading into the last year of his deal. And if I read this correctly, John Harbaugh has never gone into a season not having financial security in regards to a contract with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, given their success and the playoff disappointments, which we've talked about ad nauseum, but their success even getting to the playoffs on a rather consistent basis, you would think that John Harbaugh is going to have financial security in regards to a contract extension. Now into his 60s, he's not ancient 60, but early 60s. He's still got the wherewithal and the smarts and the want to, borrowing a bunch of cliches, to continue on as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm guessing that he will, in fact, be rewarded by Steve Bisciotti with the contract extension. Any reason to believe that he wouldn't be?
No, not at all. 100% he'll be back. I mean, Bob, when you look at Harbs is the seventh highest paid NFL head coach right now at 12 mil. All right. So if you're Harbs' agent, Andy Reid's the highest at 20. Sean Payton's at 18. Tomlin just signed at 16. Jim Harbaugh's at 16. Sean McVay's at 15, Kyle Shanahan at 14, then John's at 12. So if you're John Harbaugh, Bob, where are you saying, hey, you know, I got to be ahead of Mike Tomlin, right?
And Kyle Shanahan, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, Kyle's at 14. Tomlin's at 16. Should I be ahead of Sean Payton? I mean, you know.
Yes.
Right. So I should be right below Andy Reid. So I'm guessing Harbs is going to get a hefty pay raise, you know, to $18, $19 million a year from 12. That's my guess.
And deservedly so.
No doubt.
And this is with all due respect, Ricky Bobby style, to Kyle Shanahan, who's been to Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Payton, who's won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And it's been to, what, two of them, I believe? No, just one.
Yeah.
He was actually an assistant on the Giants team, which we'll talk about in the whip around. Start putting your Columbo hats on, trying to connect those dots. But Reed, for sure. And he's the
Reed's the grand poobah. And Reed's going to get another race.
Yeah, he's the grand poobah stuff. But had a Tomlin, Mike Tomlin.
He hadn't won a playoff game in
8 years.
Yeah.
And it's funny that, you know, Ravens fans would trade Mike Tomlin for John Harbaugh in a heartbeat, and probably vice versa, which goes to show you the fickle nature of fan bases. But John Harbaugh deserves to be paid among the top three head coaches in football, I would think, based on tenure, level of success, and, of course, winning a Super Bowl.
No, I agree 100% with you on that one. But you know who the guy who's going to get a big jump? Nick Sirianni. He's making seven. He's going to get a big jump, especially if they win the Super Bowl. But, yeah, Andy Reid deserves to be the highest. And then, John, if I'm John, I'm asking for right below Andy. You can put Andy up there and then put me below Andy. You know, put me at 19 mil.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's turning up Tuesday. Pick a song. We'll play it. Crank it up to 12 on top of it. Nolan McGraw is waiting for you over there in Plaza for text lines where you make those selections at 410-583-1057. It's also how you get in and talk to us. And, you know, John Harbaugh has a lot of critics.
Yes.
As we know, we listen to it all the time. Nolan McGraw, at times you've been one of them. And we look at you because me and Vinny are supposed to be unbiased observers, even though I'm a Ravens fan and so are you. And Vinny has become one since he's been in Baltimore for a while. Harbsy deserves a pay raise, a little respect financially, based on what he's accomplished as the head coach. Game day decisions aside, just you look at the course of 16, now 17 games, what they've accomplished. Are you satisfied with your head coach? Are you done with it?
Right. I mean, I've been kind of preaching the run it back mentality or preaching stability here. That's why we love the Todd Monken extension. You know, it keeps that continuity in place for the team. And like you said, I've had gripes with some of the things that Harbaugh has done at times, more so in-game decisions than overarching things. But that's every coach, right? And you're going to get pissed off at your coach every once in a while. Nobody's perfect. It's the nature of the league. I don't care what he makes. I don't think anyone should care what he makes. It doesn't have any bearing on the team's financial situation or what they can do to add players or anything like that. So when we bicker about, you're paying this player that much compared to this guy over here, it makes sense because it's all part of the cap and it matters. Coaches, what does it matter? I don't care. Nobody should really care anyway. I want him here long term, but if he's the highest paid, the fifth highest paid, doesn't matter to me at all.
Well, Vinny just broke out the salaries.
Mm-hmm.
So Andy Reid is the highest paid and deservedly so.
Right.
So shouldn't, based on this status alone. And again, doesn't help me. John Harbaugh could get a bazillion dollars. Doesn't affect me in one way, shape, or form at all in regards to my personal life. But Vinny, you were an executive, your owner. Let's go back to San Francisco, not Washington. Did you see that story about him?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Oh, you know he's running hot about whoever that person was.
We'll get back to that later. But anyway, should he be, John Harbaugh, a guy that should want to be? Look, with all due respect, again, this guy's making this, and really?
Oh, every negotiation's about a comparable, no matter what sport, coach, whatever. I mean, that's how you negotiate. So, yes, Harbs is going to say that, you know, to his agent. And Harbs is going to – Harbs never says a bad thing about anybody to the media. So, but you don't think with his agent?
Yeah.
Hell, yeah, I want – I should be – in this pecking order, I should be below Andy Reid, period. You know, and, you know, and I don't know that Bisciotti would have much argument with that.
Right, because Harbaugh, if he – say, was Mike McCarthy. They couldn't come to an agreement on an extension, not like Buck Showalter with the Orioles. They didn't fire him. They just didn't renew his contract, and he'd have a job within days if he chose to do so. And if he wanted to sit the year out, and look, keep in mind, Pete Carroll just got a job at 74 years old last week. So if John, I think we're probably preaching something that's not going to be reality, but Harbs has leverage. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. And then let's go to, don't you think Monken should ask for the highest paid coordinator?
Well, 2 years, let's see here. Last year, 2023, they were fourth in points per game, number one in rushing. This year, number one yards per game, number one in rushing, third in points per game, getting better.
Yeah.
With that, they were like sixth in total offense, but still one of the best. Lamar won MVP. This year, he's probably going to win MVP again. Oh, he's got leverage, too.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Anyone who might have had more leverage, maybe like a Ben Johnson or something, they went and got a job elsewhere. I mean, Cohen with Jacksonville, he was set to reset the coordinator market if he was going to stay with Tampa Bay, but then he ends up leaving. So I'd say of the remaining OCs in the league in that role, Todd's got to be top dog.
Damn it. Yeah, Todd Monken right there.
Yeah.
Phone ringing on the air, baby.
Deal's done. Yeah, the deal's done. But Liam Cohen, I don't know if you saw his interview at Jacksonville yesterday.
I saw him try to say Duval.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was kind of embarrassing.
I did not see it full disclosure.
Actually, you got it right here. Let me play it.
Oh,
play
Bob, it was like Jim Zorn at the press conference.
Duval.
I don't know what he was going for there.
The hell's he talking about?
That's like their slogan, yeah. Duval, down there in Jacksonville.
That's the county.
Yeah, Duval County.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's very poor.
Yeah. You know, if I'm the owner, I'm like, oh, my God.
It's like, I don't want to be in Duval. Isn't he kind of disliked in Tampa right now? But, again, we got a lot to get to in regards to that. But Todd Monken is going to get a contract extension.
It's already done.
And rightfully so. So congratulations to him. And if you look at the results of the Ravens offense, I don't think anyone's really complaining about this sort of thing. Orioles yesterday reached a deal with Dylan Carlson, switch hitting outfielder who in 2021 was a rookie of the year finalist for the St. Louis Ball Club. Jonathan India won the award, since been traded by the Cincinnati Reds. And the other finalists there, three of them, Trevor Rogers. So two rookie of the year finalists in 2021 could be toiling in Norfolk, at least at some point here in 2025. It's a low money risk, less than $1 million in base salary. Got a chance to get over $1 million with 200 bat incentives, and I'm sure there are more layers to it. We'll talk to Danielle Allen, talk about this later in the show. But he's another versatility piece. He can play all three outfield spots. He's good defensively. Hits well against righties, or lefties, rather. And the Orioles could use a right-handed hitting outfielder, and we'll see how it goes. But he's been hurt a ton. Hamstrings, obliques, AC joints. He misses a lot of time. He was DFA'd by the Rays back when free agency started. So he signs with the Orioles. So Dylan Carlson coming to town. Terps tomorrow, 7 o'clock, taking on number 17, Wisconsin. We'll talk about that with head coach Kevin Willard, bottom of the hour. And the Super Bowl is set. I'm sure that we talked before the show that Cordell and everybody on the whammy lance about the Commanders. Well, you turn the ball over four times. What do you expect to happen? Right. You let Saquon Barkley go 70-some yards on the first play from scrimmage. I mean, it is what it is. But not a lot of complaining, apparently, about the Bills-Kansas City game in regards to the officiating. You know I like to rag on the refs, and we will.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan. 4th and 1, Josh Allen looked like he got the first down. The one side judge ruled him, spotted him ahead of the sticks.
Yeah.
The one down by, they believe, the Kansas City bench ruled him short of the sticks. I can't remember which side either one was on, but I got to be honest with you. But first ruled ahead, second one came in, overruled him. Then he went to replay, and because they put the spot behind the sticks, you knew they weren't going to win the challenge because it's vague with the ball and all of this nonsense going on there. But that was one call that was huge because Buffalo gets the first down. They continue the drive.
Yep.
And maybe look to extend leads, and Kansas City gets the ball and they go down, and we all know how that happened. Then you had the Worthy catch. That wasn't because the ball hit the ground. You know what I mean? So it was an interesting Sunday in Arrowhead in regards to the officiating. But we can bitch and we can complain. And I love ragging on officials and umpires because they can impact the outcome of games. Bottom line with that is they got to come up with a better way to... But once the referee spots the ball, it doesn't really matter, though. You know, it's all about the referee spot, isn't it?
The only thing I would say about that fourth down play, Bob, the guy who called it a first down was on the far side of the play. So he didn't have as good a look as the guy on the Kansas City sideline because Josh Allen came to the left, right towards that official. Mm-hmm. So he has the better look. I'm guessing that's why they gave him... overruled,
but,
because the other guy was on the far side, and you're looking through the whole line.
But didn't the replay show that the ball did, in fact, get passed?
The only thing
and
is...
And it wasn't... He made it by a yard, and this is like the worst spot in the history of football, but...
Yeah, I could have gone,
if they would have ruled it a first down, they wouldn't have overturned it.
Right. No doubt. But, Bob, you can't see the ball, because it's in his right arm, and he got turned sideways. So to me, that one was a tough one. The other one, I mean, that's it. That's New York making that call. You know, so the officials on the field, they make a call, but then it goes to replay, and New York is calling that, and New York called it a catch, which didn't seem to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, even if it was a pick, which it looked like it was going to be, Buffalo was offsides.
Yes.
So that would have been overturned anyway. But they get the ball on the three-yard line, and Mahomes scores a touchdown.
Yep.
And just like that, or they're up 11 points.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. You know, so officials, yeah. Questionable calls, yeah. Especially when Kansas City's involved, Bob, because everybody...
Then it's heavily scrutinized, yeah. Just like it was a couple of days ago. We'll get to the NFC Championship game as Washington. You can't turn the ball over four times.
No.
And went on the road against the team that's playing really well. Jalen Hurts was outstanding. Barkley's a stud. And look, if he, for some reason, wins MVP, are we whining about this? Keep in mind, it's a regular season award,
mm-hmm.
And Lamar appears to be the front runner for it. But he was... You know, he was first team running back. He's he's an MVP finalist, or is he? I think he is, right? Yeah, if he gets it.
I think he may be offensive player of the year
or
something.
Sure, I think that's a lock. Yeah. But if he wins MVP, are we stunned by this or no?
I'd be stunned because it's quarterback award.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's not like, you know, I mean, he's had a great season, but Lamar's had a historic season too, and Allen's had a great season too, so... I think it's a two-horse race.
He had to break the record to even be in serious consideration.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, even then, it might have been a long shot.
Told you, when Dickerson did it himself, he didn't win the MVP. Dan Marino did 40 years ago. All right, let's get out to the phones. Kevin Willard's going to be joining us bottom of the hour, talking about his winning three in a row. Terps included two on the road. Harry in Atlanta. Harry, what's up?
Hey, Bob, how you doing, man? Long time no talk to.
All right, good to hear from you.
Oh, absolutely, man. I listen to you guys a lot, but I'm down here in Atlanta, been here about 15 years. I used to call in with the name JR back when I was in Baltimore, when Zeno was with you.
Well, JR?
Oh, yeah, man.
JR Harry, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm great, man. I hope you're doing, hope you guys are doing great.
Living a dream.
I heard you talking about Harbaugh, and I had to give you a call, man. I normally don't call. It's been a long time, but I had to call in. Listen, Bob, I get how you guys feel about Harbaugh, but I've been down here watching the Atlanta Falcons. And I know when Zeno came down here, they couldn't even handle Zeno because Zeno was just being too hard on him. And I know I'm hard on Harbaugh, but listen, we got a hole in the boat, man. We got a hole in the boat. And you're not going fishing every year with a hole in your boat. And every year you get out there and you catch the, you try to catch the big one. Before you know it, your boat sank. The Coast Guard's coming to get you. And next year you're taking some of this cheesy wood and trying to patch up your boat. And you go back out, you got another, the next thing you know, you're out there, your boat sank again, you lost all your fish, you didn't catch the big one. All I'm saying is we got a hole in our boat, we keep going fishing every year with that same patched up hole in our boat, and the same thing keeps happening. And you know what they say about doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Now, I just got a question for you guys.
Are you talking about the Falcons or Harbs?
I'm talking about Harbs.
Wow.
Stop playing, Bob. You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, Vinny over there.
I get it that you guys got to rep Harbs as much as you
I don't have to kiss Harbs' ass at all. I think he's a good coach, but I don't have to smooch his rear end. So he's like the professor. Can't fix the hole in the boat on the island, but he can make a radio out of a coconut, that sort of thing.
Exactly. And the Coast Guard's telling him, we're not coming to get you anymore, man. And the other thing is, he's riding Lamar's coattail, period. That's all I got. If I had a conversation with Brashadi, I'm telling him, I don't care who you get. Because everybody always says, well, who are you going to get? Who are you going to get? I don't care who you get. The thing is, you get a new boat, you got to learn how to use it. You get a new boat, the fish might have moved to a different location. You got to find them.
What's Bottom Andy Reid riding? What's Andy Reid riding?
Hey, thanks, Harry. We got to get Kevin Willard in here. But. Hey, look, there were reports in 2018 that John Harbaugh and the Ravens were coming to a mutual parting of the ways, and then Joe Flacco got hurt, Lamar took over, and John Harbaugh has been looking at a lot of contract extensions since then.
Yeah, no doubt.
Thank you, Harry and JR.
Well, Bob, you look at any coach with a great quarterback, they're not firing a coach. You know, look, Belichick was there how many years? 20?
Yeah.
Tomlin had Big Ben. He's been there, you know, and now he's had some issues. But, you know, you got a great quarterback. Why do you think the Cincinnati coach, we've asked for his head before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
I'm just along for the ride with that one. Vinny at 81.05.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Speaking of coaches, his head's cool. It's Kevin Willard. His team's on kind of a heater. Winners of 3 in a row, 5 of 6, including 2 in a row. And then Rodney Rice saving the day in Bloomington. Big game coming up tomorrow, however, against Wisconsin. We'll talk to the coach about that. And then our other Kevin on Tuesdays, Kevin Allstriker, talks about that Todd Monken contract extension and John Harbaugh, I guess, eventual one. And hey, they got a game and then a break, and we'll get into all of that and more. Head coach, University of Maryland, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline, joins us every Tuesday, Coach Kevin Willard. Coach, how you feeling today?
Doing good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing all right, and I guess, at least for now, I put to bed the narrative of can't win on the road and all that fun stuff. Let's go back to the Illinois game first, and I know the Vucevic, apologize for not remembering his name. He was out ill. Your bigs dominated that game, then really pulled away. Do you look at this as, well, you know, because a lot of people, well, they didn't have their full complement, Illinois. Do you give a crap about any of that, defending or trying to diminish your win?
No, I mean, you know, when you go through a season, you're not going to be at full strength at times. Your opponent's not going to be at full strength at times. So, you know, you gotta take advantage when one of your opponents doesn't have their center. So I thought Juju and Derek did a really good job of just kind of really understanding that we had a size advantage and just wanted to pound it inside. And I thought the two big guys did great.
Now, against Indiana, you had a lot of guys do very well. Of course, Rodney Rice was incredible. But before we praise him, and rightfully so, Jacoby Gillespie, he had the one bad game, if we want to call it that, against Washington. Since then, Coach, he's been outstanding. Just talk about this kid coming from Belmont. They were talking about it on the TV broadcast on Saturday. Just the adjustment from, you know, the Missouri Valley to the Big Ten, the step up, and how he's not only rose to the challenge, maybe has played himself into first-team consideration in the Big Ten team here.
Yeah, I think Jacoby, more than anything, you know, there is an adjustment period to this conference and to maybe just a different size of guard that's guarding him. You know, Washington put a 6'6 freshman on him, Diallo, that did a really good job of just kind of frustrating him a little bit, and that's the only bad game Jacoby's played all year. So since then, he's kind of understood that what he needs to do against the bigger guards of this league, and I think he's just been a great leader on the court. He's been a great leader off the court, and he's a really fun kid to coach.
The ebbs and flows of Sunday's game against Indiana, and you're up. They came back. Then you took a lead. They came back. They got the N1 late, which put them up 4. I was yelling so loud in my living room, Coach. I think my neighbor thought I was screaming at my wife, or she was screaming at me. Either way, but you pull it out. Rodney Rice was huge. Just talk about his season, another transfer from Virginia Tech, and how he gets acclimated. And, you know, sometimes might not be his best day, but, boy, when it's time to rise to the occasion, he certainly did it.
Well, I think the one thing people don't understand about Rodney is, you know, he only played 8 games his freshman year at Virginia Tech. So for him now to go through a full college season, be in the 10th game of Big Ten play, I just think he's really adjusted well. He has had some ups and downs, but I think it's just a typical, almost like a freshman year of what he's going through. But he's been, defensively, he's really worked hard and been great for us. And, you know, to be honest with you, offensively, he is such a spark plug. And we know he's going to get out there. And we know he's going to get a bucket when we need one. Him and Jacoby have just really worked well together.
Kevin Willard, head coach, University of Maryland, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fantasy, does every Tuesday. We had Walt Williams on last week, of course, Maryland legend, Maryland Radio Network, and he talked about defense traveling on the road. And you told us a couple weeks ago that your team is really good defensively. They mentioned it on Sunday again, that you're in the top 20, I believe, in defensive percentile in college basketball. How do you instill that mindset into the players, understanding that, you know, it's a grind for everyone, but as long as you play that D, good things will eventually maybe happen for you?
Yeah, I think there's a kind of a happy medium with us is, you know, we kind of have a deal with the guys is, you know, you give great effort on the defensive end and we'll kind of let you do what you can do on the offensive end. And we've been trying for the last couple of years to, you know, not, it sounds crazy, not to be as good defensively and be a little bit better offensively. And I think this group has kind of found a good kind of balance in between, all right, we got to work defensively, but at the same time, saving some energy for the offensive end. And, you know, we're now top 20 offense, and, you know, I think we slid a little bit defensively, but, you know, we're scoring the basketball. And when you score, it's just a little bit easier to play defense just because you can set your defense up a little bit better than when you're in transition. So it's just, I got a good group of guys. They work hard. They understand that, you know, in this league that you're going to have to bring it defensively.
Kevin, when you got this team together, you know, watching them in practice and early in the season, did you think they were going to be this good shooting the three?
Yeah, I mean, that was the one thing. We went into the portal, you know, Celt Miguel, Rodney Rice, Jacoby, all those guys were over 40% on catch and shoot threes. And that was really the main focus for us, knowing that we had Derek Queen coming in, that we had Julian Reese coming back. So having two big guys, we needed some guys on the floor at all times that could shoot the basketball. And it was just something that we really, because we struggled so bad the year before shooting the basketball, it was just something that was a main priority for us to make sure we got guys that can complement Derek and Julian.
Coach, like, go back to the Illinois game. Like, with the injuries, like, to the center, when did you know? Did you know it prior to the game or before the game just started? Because then all of a sudden you got to tell your guys, all right, switch the game plan a little bit because your guards like to shoot, play. You know, they only took three threes in that game, and they worked it inside. To me, that's discipline and good coaching.
Well, it was gonna be our plan no matter what. You know, because he's a more of a pick and pop five man. He's not the most overly physical kid. So we were gonna throw it into Julian no matter what. We had done it the year before there, and it worked really well. We had did it at home against him, and it worked really well. You know, Brad doesn't like to double team the post, so we knew we could have one on one play with Julian. And we saw him in sweats. I actually walked up to him right before the game and asked him what was going on. He said he had mono. I felt bad for the kid, but at the same time, I didn't feel bad for Illinois.
Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland. Now you got Wisconsin tomorrow, number 17 at home. And, hey, you know, the narrative about Maryland can't win on the road. Same with Wisconsin at home. They dominate teams. Now they're coming on the road. But you talk about pick and pops. This kid, winners, he can bang them. You got the guards that are great. Tanji's been around for 7 years, I think. So they've got some talent. They're playing really well. So talk about the matchup problems they're going to present, because the Tanji kid's a big guard, does a lot of things, sort of like the kid at Northwestern a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Tanji's probably as good a guard as we're going to see all year. He's playing at a super high level. He's 6'5". He's been, like you said, he's been around forever, so he's got a lot of confidence. Their big guys are older. There's, you know, Stephen Crowell, he's a fifth-year senior. He's a guy that's been in Wisconsin's program. Greg does a great job of just, you know, he spreads the floor on you, runs a lot of pick-and-rolls. You know, Max Klecksmith's been there for now 5 years, so an older team that is playing really well. I think they've won 7 out of their last 8. You know, we're going to have to really defend the three-point line because it's the best three-point shooting team in the league.
Kevin, last thing for you. After Wisconsin, you're off for a while, and we'll assume you win, probably put you in the top 25, not to jinx you by any stretch of the imagination. Then you don't play again until, what, February 6th. How do you maintain that level of intensity? And you certainly don't want to break when you're running hot in the win column there.
No, it's a good point. And I think we've had, you know, this is going to be our 11th game already in Big Ten play. And, you know, there's some teams that have only played 8. So we've had a lot of games in a short period of time. So I think the break's going to be good for the guys. You know, get 2 or 3 days off, let them kind of get re-energized for a really, I think, fun stretch in February, which is, you know, we have 6 home games in February, which is really exciting. So I think being at home in February is going to give us a chance to really get on another run. So I think the guys deserve a break, and looking forward to kind of attacking February.
He's Kevin Willard, head basketball coach, University of Maryland. Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Good luck tomorrow night. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
I really appreciate it, guys.
You got it. Kevin Willard, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset for you. Kevin Allstriker, our other Kevin, he'll be joining us 11 o'clock from the Ravens Wire USA Today. Todd Monken got a contract extension. When is John Harbaugh's coming? And Josh Allen's getting a lot of heat. 0-4 against Patrick Mahomes
yeah.
in the playoffs. And it's almost like it. I must be listening to or watching different sports shows than other people. Because he got crucified last year for turning the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
Got his ass kissed this year, rightfully so. And by the way, did beat Kansas City in the regular season. What's he, 3-1 or 4-1 against them in the regular season?
One of the two, but so, he's good.
Yeah. In the playoffs, however, donut.
Yeah.
And like, look at this. Wonder what the narrative's going to be here. What's the deal? I saw Dalton Kincaid drop the ball.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it was a degree of difficulty much higher than Mark Andrews 2 weeks ago, but dropped nonetheless. So he's getting roasted. So just a week after the Ravens felt that venom, Buffalo's feeling it. But I don't think Josh Allen gets any preferential treatment in regards to national love. He gets more heat. Lamar gets his ass kissed more than anybody. Again, Lamar gets criticized here more than he does nationally. You got a couple hot take people.
Yeah.
Well, until he wins this, that, and the other. He's not going to do anything. But now for Josh Allen, keep in mind, they were picked third in their division by a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was Miami, it was the Jets, them. They made it to the AFC Championship game, largely because of him. And we can sit here and lament the Ravens don't have a lot of weapons for Lamar. Well, they got really good tight ends. Pro Bowl receiver. Okay, you could debate that Brian Thomas probably should have beat Zay Flowers to begin with.
Yeah.
And he's replacing him anyway. But.
Stud running back.
Who?
Buffalo.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I've been saying that for months.
Yep.
Almost got lost in the sauce because Derrick Henry was so good.
Yep.
But Khalil Shakur, good player.
Yeah.
Not Stephon Diggs.
No.
Coleman, who knows? Mari Cooper, who knows? Maybe on
can't
the downside.
Can't run anymore.
By the way, that 3rd and 10 call that set up the blitz where Kincaid dropped it on their last play.
Yeah.
The hell was that? They threw like a, like, go ahead and get it. Yeah. Here, a little screen pass. Go get us 10 yards of Mari Cooper. I don't know if I can. Wrong guy. Like, no. I thought the play calling was pretty questionable. But I think Josh Allen needs to be praised. Lamar should be MVP.
Yeah.
And I'm agreeing that he'll win it, given the fact that he won first team all pro. But, hey, that 0-4 against Mahomes is looming large. By the way, just throw out he's 2-0 against Lamar in the playoffs. So let's not let that become part of the narrative, at least till the next time they play. But 0-4, that's 0-4. That's a sweep in baseball and basketball and hockey, pardon.
Yeah, that's like Mahomes, like, I own you.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, he does. I mean, that dude's... Bob, that dude just refused, because Kelsey did nothing. 2 catches for 19 yards. You know, so I mean, it was all on Mahomes. I mean, he wills them to win. I mean, he ran for them to win this time. Made some great plays with his legs.
What do you think, Nolan? Josh Allen getting some undue criticism, or once the 0-4 looms large and they've all been heartbreaking losses, the last two. Last three, especially. Missed field goal, could have tied it. That epic game after the 21 season and then Sunday. I mean, not only are you losing, you're not getting Jim Kelly Bills in the Super Bowl losing by 25 or whatever it was. They're just losing these devastating games.
Well, maybe it'll finally lead to some changes in the way people discuss the AFC. For some reason, despite the Chiefs' dominance over the last, what feels like a decade at this point, people still insist on creating these narratives where a team isn't worthwhile if they don't beat the Chiefs or anything. I mean, nobody's beat the Chiefs. I mean, the Bengals did it one time and didn't even cash in by winning the Super Bowl. They lost the Super Bowl.
New England did it.
New England's first year, when Brady was still playing for them. So the point is that great quarterbacks in the AFC, and it is a way more stacked conference in terms of quarterback talent than the NFC. Even with that, nobody can get past this team. So, it's either all or nothing. Either you don't bash any of them, or you bash them all equally. You can't pick and choose. Lamar and Allen are in the same boat in terms of that the playoff outcomes against Kansas City.
When you, just like you said, if you just looked at the top five quarterbacks right now in the NFL, you'd have Mahomes, Lamar, and Allen, Burrow, and then you'd get to the NFC. Probably right now, it'd be probably Jaden Daniels. Or, you know, but I mean, you don't like just like you said. I mean, the four best quarterbacks in the league right now are all AFC.
And if you want to go top 10, I'd say six or seven of them are AFC. That's just off the top of my head.
Yeah. By the way, how many Super Bowls has Mahomes been to? This is fifth one.
I've lost count. Yeah.
Hits his fifth Super Bowl. He's not even 30 years old yet.
Jesus.
He turns 30 in September.
Brady went to what, seven?
I think he went to eight. He lost two.
Three.
He lost three.
One to the Eagles, two to the
Giants. Right. Oh, there you go. And he won how many?
Seven.
Screw that guy. All right, it's 410-583-1057 is the number. If you're on the phones, hang tight. We'll get you in the second hour of the program. But when we come back, we've got Kevin Allstriker, Ravens Wire, USA Today. Todd Monken gets an extension. No problemos there. Linebacker coach dismissed last week. What's the plan there? John Harbaugh, long-term extension. What do the Ravens have up their sleeve? Now the Ravens are in postseason mode. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.